This is Marlene with Miami Ghost Chronicles, and I want to welcome you to another episode of Stories of the Supernatural. Wherever you find us, whether it's a video or podcast on your favorite platform, please like and subscribe to us so that you can get notification of when a new show is released. You can also find us on major social media platforms. If you go to MiamiGhostChronicles.com, you can find links to the videos or MP3 files, which you can download and enjoy without commercial interruptions. If you're into classic horror, ghost, and adventure stories, I narrate Nightshade Diary, and you can find links at nightshadediary.com. If scary stories are your bag, and listening to encounters with cryptids, ghosts, dogman, and other weird creatures sends a shiver up your spine, then go to supernaturalstorytime.com for links to our weekly podcasts. Noteworthy news about the paranormal world, true crime, conspiracy stories, and anything that is just plain weird can be found at eerie.news or visit the Stranger Than Fiction Stories tab at MiamiGhostChronicles.com. Please subscribe to my newsletter on Substack. Just go to mppelliser.com for a link. I want to thank you for being part of my audience, and I think you are all wonderful.
Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing? As you can tell, for those of you who are watching the video version of this, last week's episode, I was in total darkness because, you know, victim of the puppy. And I had that camera, which was very bad on lighting. Now I got a new one, which I'm experimenting with at night. That's, you know, as you can tell, I'm like, but I have my lights turned off with the exception of that back there. And I'm ready. But anyway, I'll figure it out. It's just that when I connected this camera, it was daytime and my lighting now is nighttime. One of those deals. You know what? I mean, we become creatures of habit. That other camera, I'd had it for years. And you know, when you have everything just perfect and then this happens. Savvy, what can I say? Anyway, guys, don't forget, I'm going to remind you again to sign up for the Substack on my newsletter with Substack. Like I said, that's where I put out any new projects, articles, some of the new, older videos and newer audio podcasts. And then I said, and of course, any announcements, like I know this is going to be a little bit staggered, but we're going to have a live stream next Tuesday for Mardi Gras. And we're going to have all that interesting stuff around Mardi Gras. God knows there's a lot of interesting stuff. So anyway, guys, and of course, for those of you who can't make the live stream, I am going to have the version of the show, which is going to be recorded and accessible, both the video and the audio version. So let's get on to the good part. And the good part is the guest. This gentleman, this is his first time here on Stories of the Supernatural. And his name is Mike Cleland, and published a book in 2015 titled The Messengers. And in it, he explores the mysterious connection between owl synchronicities and UFO abductions. It was his firsthand experiences with these elusive events that have been the foundations for his research. Owls seem to play a shadowy role in the UFO contact experience. They also show up in relation to highly charged events like synchronicities, ancient archetypes, dreams, shamanic initiation, magic, psychedelic hallucination, spiritual transformation, and death. He is considered an expert in the skills of ultralight backpacking and is the author and illustrator of a series of instructional books on advanced outdoor techniques. After living 25 years in the Rockies, he now lives in the Andernachs. Help me welcome him. How are you doing today, Mike?
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
On the contrary, it's my pleasure. That is such an interesting thing about the owls. And you know what? Where I live at now, it's very rural and we have big owls out here, big ones. And you hear them hooting all the time and you can hear them. I mean, this is not little owls. And, you know, there's always been some type of, how can I say, history. Either when you see them as wise, you know, the wise owl, or spooky, but I'd never heard or seen the relation between that and the UFO field or anything like that. Was this something that you observed while you were doing all your traveling or your backpacking, your hiking?
Well, I certainly saw owls every now and again when I was living in rural Idaho, and I lived in upstate New York and I saw them there. I'm presently living in the Seattle area, and I have them right out my window almost every night. I heard them last night loud right out the window. But so the within the UFO literature, it's like, it's pretty well understood. Like, so there's books on UFO contact and books by UFO right. researchers and books by people telling their first person experiences with the contact experience. And I'll tell you, in almost every book, there's a couple of sentences.
Okay.
Almost every book has a couple sentences like, oh, I had this really odd experience with an owl. Or, you know, the UFO researcher will say, you know, I mean, it's commonly understood that, you know, people will see owls around the time of UFO contact. And it was always just a little sentence or two, never much.
Right. Like a, by the way, kind
just of thing. Just a little aside. Exactly. Yeah. And I, so, I mean, to tell the, how it happened to me, do you want, I can just tell the story?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So I was, living in a small town. This is going back in 2006, which is 4, 7, that's 17 years ago now.
Okay.
And I was living in this little town right near Grand Teton National Park. Jackson Hole, Wyoming is on one side, and there's a little town in Idaho on the other side. So I was in this little cute town in Idaho, and I had been working for this outdoor school all summer long. I'd been up in Alaska. I'd been doing lots of outdoor work. And there was a branch of the school that I worked for. I don't really want to use their name. You could Google me and find out in about one mouse click who that what that school is. But I'll just
okay.
I feel better not saying it. So
sure,
not anything wrong with the school, but I realize my story is pretty far out, and I'm not representing the school. I haven't
right. I know. I believe me. I understand where you're going with that.
So I was at the school, and there was a young woman working there at the branch doing the in-town stuff, you know, with the gear and the food and the luggage and all the stuff with the students. And I got to talking with her, and her name is Kristen. And I said, oh, you must've been camping a lot. You've been here all summer. This was September at this point. And I said, oh, you've been here all summer. You must've camped so much. And the Tetons and Yellowstone National Park is right there. It's real camping culture and kind of a camping, you know, it was real common for people to go camping in the summer in the town. And she said, no, I haven't camped once. And I said, that's terrible. That's horrible. I'll take you camping. And so it was kind of a first date. Like, I didn't know this person. I said, I'll take you camping. She said, okay. So we packed very light. We were going to go for one night. And I knew the weather, and the weather was very easy to predict. And there was going to be no rain. It was going to be a beautiful, calm night. And so we didn't take a tent. We're just going to sleep out under the stars.
Okay.
And we walked into the mountains with a light pack. You can walk in quick. And we walked in, and we got to this beautiful spot as the sun was setting. Just amazing, glorious spot. I knew this terrain really well, and I'd been there many times. And so I made dinner on a little camp stove on a big flat rock in a field of wildflowers. Just spectacular. The sun is setting, and we're having a conversation. And I remember this so clearly. She was talking about something. And I thought to myself, I'm impressed with this woman. She was a stranger essentially. And I was like, I did not expect her to be this smart or to be this insightful or to have this depth. And at that moment, as I was having that thought, as she was telling me something and I was having that thought, an owl flew right over us.
Okay.
And then another owl. And then a third owl. And we sat there and ate our dinner out of our little bowls. And it was like three owls flew over us for like the next 2 hours. Okay. And we actually, you don't want to camp right where you eat, right? So there's food smells, and the mice are an issue, and so are bears, but we are much more concerned about little mice and stuff like that. So I said, let's just walk for a little bit and we'll find a nice spot to camp. So we don't have to camp right where we ate. Okay. We're not camping. We're just find a flat spot to lie down.
Right.
So we walked for a little while as the sun was setting and the owls followed us. And when we laid down to sleep, we put our sleeping beds on the ground or pads on the ground. And we just laid out under the stars, which I've done many, many times. And this is the Northern Rockies. So the stars are spectacular. And we laid down, we were looking right up at the nighttime sky, and the stars would be blotted out for just a half a second. And these owls were swooping down right over our faces. They're very quiet. They don't make any noise. And it was so eerie. It was so magical. And the next morning we got up and we were like, wow, that was so cool. Let's, you know, and so we walked a different way back. We had a wonderful hike back to the car, and we got, you know, so we walked in the afternoon and we left in the morning, and we got back to the car by around, you know, well before lunchtime. And, And I said, this was wonderful. Let's do this again. If you want to go camping, I'll give you a call, or I'll give you a call. Let's try to do this again. So 4 days later, I called her up and said, let's do it. Let's go camping again. She said, sure, great. So we went camping again. And this time it was a little colder.
Okay.
And cold enough that it was a little chilly. And we had a tent this time. So I said, okay, before we go into the tent, let's walk up to that hilltop and watch the sun go down. Right. So you walk uphill and you get warm. Okay. We can watch the sun go down. We can walk back and get in the tent. And then we'll be warm. You don't want to climb into the tent kind of chilly. So she said, great. So we walk up to this hilltop. We get to this gentle hill. It was 5 minute walk from, we could see at the hilltop right from there. So this big open terrain in the high mountain environment. And when we get to the top of the hill, an owl flies over us.
Wow. What are the chances of that?
And the chances are zero. So three owls flew around us. This was a totally different part of the mountains. 4 days later. And these owls landed. One owl landed at our feet. And I've talked with Kristen recently. And she's heard me tell this story. Because I tell this is the best way to introduce what's happened in my life. And I said, is this right? I'm so worried I'm exaggerating. And she's like, oh, no. This is exactly what happened. And I remember the look on her face. And these owls were at our feet. And the look on her face was just.
Yeah.
And I did not say it then at the time, but I'm saying it now.
Okay.
When those owls were flying around us, I had a thought in my head that was clear as clear can be. I said, this has something to do with the UFOs. I'm not sure if it was my thought or was a thought that came into my mind, but I was looking at these real owls. These were cute owls. They were like, you know, 10 inches mm-hmm. tall and cute. And oh, they were just magical. And I was like, this has something to do with the UFOs. Now, after that, to have it happen once was pretty cool. To have it happen twice was mystical and almost mm-hmm. frightening. Like both of us were like a little freaked out.
Wigged out, huh?
But yeah. So we did, this was 2006 is kind of the early days of the internet. So we did all kinds of searches and things for animal spirit guides and what the totem meaning of an owl was and stuff like that.
Right,
so,
right.
So I just got lost in it. But at the same time, afterwards, in the months and weeks and since then, like I realized that I had stories in my youth that I could tell. I could sit around a dinner table and tell people like, oh, I had this experience when I was 12 years old. And I have a missing time event when I was 12. I have a close-up UFO sighting when I was 12. And when I was 30, so in 2006, I would have been 44. I'm 60 now.
Okay.
But I had an experience when I was 30 of waking up in the middle of the night, and there was a bright light shining through the window, and I sat up in bed, and there was five gray aliens walking towards the house. And I dismissed it. I denied it. I wasn't going to go there. I was like, no way. Couldn't have happened. No way.
And so what did you think? Did you at that moment think the next day a dream or one of those?
Dream. I just thought it was a dream. And that was winter time. And I was in Maine, living in Maine at the time. And I could have easily walked out and looked if there were footprints in the snow. I never bothered. Okay. And that event of seeing the beings out the window, I looked out the window. There was a bright, bright light behind them. And it would have been perfect if it was like a big flying saucer. It wasn't. It looked mm-hmm. like it was about the size of a washing machine. It was just this bright light in the trees, small, backlighting them, lit up my room. And I had a voice in my head that said, oh, yes, they're here. Now is the time to put your head on the pillow and shut down. And I just, I should have panicked. It was horribly frightening image. I should have freaked out. I should have locked the doors. I should have grabbed a baseball bat. I should have got knives in both hands.
Right.
I didn't. I just went right to sleep and out. Now,
did anybody in your family or anybody living in the household?
I was alone in the house at the time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So now, so those were two of those were in my youth, 12 year old, mm-hmm. seeing a orange flash in the sky and having missing time. And then another time when I was also 12, which would have been 1974, I saw a, like a coffee can shaped craft, like hovering outside a window of a friend's house at night. and we both saw it and we both drew it. And I still have the drawing and it's on my blog and it's in my book and such. So now, so the event happened in 2006 with Kristen.
Okay.
And I made a diary entry about that, seeing the owls. And I had a lot of synchronicities in my life, a lot of like really powerful coincidences that were emerging in my life. And I was kind of, I kind of had a set of those written out as diary entries. And so I figured out, well, like this was 2009, early in the era where people had blogs. I said, I can put my synchronicities out as a blog.
Okay.
So I put that story, I think it was on the first day, of the second day I had the blog. I put out that story with Kristen, just as I told it, except I didn't share the part about the voice in my head that said it was connected to the UFOs. So I put it online. And then I reread it and I said just what I said to you now. I said, like, I had, like, Kristen was saying something really powerful at the moment the first owl showed up. So I called her up. She was no longer living in the town I was living in. She's back in Michigan where she grew up. So I called her up and got her on the phone. I said, like, what were we talking about the very first night when I saw the very first set of owls? Or we together saw the very first set of owls. And she said, oh, I remember exactly what I was talking about. She said, I was giving my most heartfelt definition of what God means to me.
Wow.
So like that took, for me, that took an already powerful event and just gave it an extra charge, like an extra spiritual charge. Now I'm not at all like churchy, you know, like I don't.
Right. But you're saying it wasn't just me. She was also participant in this because of what she was saying.
And so since then, in my blog, I started kind of, I had more owl experiences and kind of cataloged these things and kind of put a few notes out. And then it wasn't too long before I put a little thing on the sidebar of my blog that said, I want to hear your owl stories.
Okay.
And so what happened is, it didn't take very long. So if you could do it right now. You can Google UFO owls.
Okay.
And I'm the first thing that comes up. And I'm about the next 25 things that come up after that. Like, it'll, no doubt, it'll come right up. UFO owls, Mike Cleland, it's going to come right up. So what has happened is I said, I want to hear your owl stories. I've been collecting, archiving, trying to make sense of these stories. So I have been collecting stories for the last 15 years. And I am flooded with these powerful stories. Now, not all of them involve UFOs and not all of them involve owls. I've got stories of hawks and eagles and hummingbirds and other what I would say highly charged spiritual totems, let's say.
Right.
But the majority of them are owls and UFOs. And then there's some outlying things. But I have been flooded with these stories and I have been working very hard to make sure they just don't sit in a file somewhere. I want those stories out there. I want them to be alive and I want people to tap into them. So I'm not going to run out of stories. And that's
No. Well, you know what? When you had that experience, Mike, did you ever think back then later on and recall encounters with owls that now you looked at it with a different, sometimes things happen and in the moment, like you said, the synchronicity, you see it, but you really don't capture the intent or what it was. But then when you look back, you're like, wait a minute, you know, I had this moment and, you know, maybe I just missed the message. I missed the memo on it.
So I did have some experiences with owls beforehand. And it's tough because I got to be really careful, right? Because I walk down the street with my friends. You walk down the main street of any town. Let me tell you, like, you're going to look in a window and there's going to be an owl calendar, right? Or some little kid's going to walk by with an owl t-shirt. Oh, yeah. Like it's a, and people are like, look, it's magic. It's happening. I'm like, don't you, like, I got to be really careful. Cause I know there's normal owls around. So what I can say is, yes, I did have a handful of owl sightings, but what happened after that event with Kristen, once I started looking into my own UFO experiences, I was hit with so many owl experiences, like mind-blowing ones. Right. And those are in the book. Just, it felt like my life just came unraveled. So I was having synchronicities after that event at such a heightened level that it scared me. That I basically, I've said this many times and it's true. I between about 2006 and 2013, I spent 95% of my daily waking hours wondering if I had gone insane. Right. So this, that the world was presenting me with so many synchronicities.
Okay. And you're like, man, am I seeing something that's not there? I imagine you're asking yourself. It was,
and there were owls. Oh my God. I had owl sightings. So many owl sightings. I actually was having so many owl sightings. So I went into the woods alone. Okay. And I said, I can't take this anymore.
Like, okay.
I'm not going to listen to if there's a little owl way out on the fence post off in the distance, that doesn't count. I'm not going to pay attention to that. Driving down the road and there's an owl out in the field. Not going to pay attention to that. If you want my attention, cross my path. I want you to make, like, I don't want any doubt. Right. I said this forthright. I said it. A day later, I'm riding my bike through town and I see an owl I'm on my bicycle. And it's a little hill, just a little hill. I'm just coasting just gently downtown. And there's an owl on a telephone line.
And it comes
off and it flies right across my face. If I put my hand out, I probably could have touched it. It went up into a tree on the other side. So it's just like, whoosh. I said, I am not going to pay attention unless you cross my path. The next day, an owl crossed my path. So it's calmed down enough for me. And the way I say it is like, you don't need to prove anything to me anymore. Like, I feel like I've got my proof.
Right. In other words, this was not something that you could have engineered subconsciously.
Maybe who knows how that your subconscious works, right? So you put out an intention to the world and the world reflects it back. So.
Right. But I'm saying, as far as the owl thing, let's face it, you know, your subconscious can do a lot of things as far as motivating you in certain things that you think consciously is not, you know, it's not in the wheelhouse, but it is. But getting an owl to fly across your path. No, that's incredible.
Yeah. And I have so some of the stories are very subtle.
Okay.
And some take a long time. Some, I love the subtle ones. There's like little poet. There's almost like the experience of Kristen saying that she was talking about God the night we saw the first owls. Like, that's such a subtle point. And I love that kind of storytelling when just that little bit of, I almost want to say dream logic. You know what I mean? Kind of drifts into a story.
Do you think the owls are messengers or portenders? What do you think their role is?
Okay. So one of the things, I started getting these letters.
Okay.
And people would tell me, they would write in the letter and they say, the owl landed on the fence post. And then often very powerful mystical experiences would be connected with this. And in the letters, they would call it the owl. And then the next line, they would say, the messenger told me, like, my father misses me or something like that. And that was happening organically. Like, I wasn't asking for that.
Right.
Like, that was, so I was getting that. And it was a friend of mine was helping me with this. And I was going to call the book the Messengers of the Night is what I was going to call it. And she said, just call it the Messengers. And so I did. And now, I could say there's 100 stories I could tell. So some of them are very subtle and some of them take a long time to tell.
Okay.
And there's some that I can tell quickly.
Whatever. So your pick, you tell me. I mean, and I know what you're saying. It also depends the context. I don't know if you're talking about your stories or stories that were told to you.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I say, I think it's the personality of the person. Some people pick up on subtleties a lot easier, and there's others that, unless it falls on their head like a big grand piano, mm-hmm. they don't get it. And sometimes that's exactly what they get. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to deliver something to you that you cannot ignore.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And then, so here, this is the problem. I'm going to tell this. I don't tell this one often. It's in my book, but I don't tell it very often.
Okay.
So the woman, Kristen, the very first night after seeing the very first set of owls, we walk back to the car, right? When we were walking back to the car, on the trail was my old girlfriend. I hadn't talked to her much. She was a very, very small town. We'd see each other in town. There was always a level of awkwardness.
Okay.
And it was someone I cared about. And she wanted to have kids. And she was, and so I was at a place in my life where I was not ready for that. So she and I agreed to separate so she could have kids. Afterwards, she got married and she's walking down the trail with her two little kids.
Right.
And one of them is a little boy and he's tiny, and the other is a little girl and she's about 8 or 9. And so Kristen just or starts walking with a little girl. So Kristen holds the girl's hand and they're right in front of us walking. And I'm with my friend. I'm going to call her Carol.
Okay.
And I pick up her little boy and I'm carrying him. Okay. So, and Carol and I have the conversation we have been waiting to have. We have the conversation where basically I told her my life is going well. I'm happy. It's so nice to see you. I'm glad you're happy. And she could say the same thing to me. My life is going well. I have my family. I'm happy. So that was the conversation that we needed to have. And we had it on that trail. We get to the car. We say goodbye to Carol. We say goodbye to their kids. Kristen gets in the car next to me and she looks at me and says, "That little girl, I had a conversation with that little girl. It was the most important conversation of my life." And I'm like, "What? Really? But what?" And she explained that the little girl, there was something about the little girl that reminded Kristen of her when she was that age.
Oh, okay.
So it was just like so subtle. And so in that would have been 2006, maybe around 2010 or so, I'm at my house in this little town. There's no UFOs in the story.
Okay.
But it's everything about the sort of mystical aspect of this. I'm in my house and I get this pull. I got like, I got to go outside. I got to go to town. And I see people riding on a bike path. There's where I lived exactly 3 miles from town.
Okay.
And there was a bicycle path right in front of my house that led right to the main street. It was the most wonderful thing in the world. 3 miles is a nice bike ride. You could go get the mail. It was just lived in a nice area with beautiful weather. So I'm going to hop on my bike. And so I hop on my bike and it was Carol and her two kids on the bike path in front of me. So I ride nice and slow with them and talk to the kids and we have this conversation. And then Carol says, "You know, that summer when we were going out, we saw so many animals. Do you remember how many animals we saw?" And I said, "Yeah, we would go hiking all the time. We lived in this beautiful place, a culture of hiking. We saw bears and moose and all kinds of animals." And she was just, and I said, "You know, I'm seeing owls now. Like I'm seeing a lot of owls these days." I just said, "That's what's been going on in my life." And so we're on this bike path and the bike path goes straight and there's like a little jog in it and there's a bridge.
Okay.
And she had her car parked at the bridge and she was just riding the bike path with the kids. It's an easy place to ride. There's no traffic, no cars on it. And so she's parked her car. So we're approaching this and I look up ahead and I'm with the two little kids and an owl, full daylight, which is very unusual, flies across the path. Across my path, there's a path,
right?
I'm on a path. Owl crosses my path and nobody else saw it but me. I said, I talked to the two little kids, "Let's go find the owl." They had no idea what I was talking about. So let's go find him. So we walked up along the path and the path had trees right next to it. And so we're walking along and we knew it was on this side of the path and we found it and there it was. It's very similar to the little image you have on your picture here. It was a great horned owl. And it was just posing for us. It was probably less than 10 feet away, maybe 5 feet away. Like if I had taken two steps forward, I could have touched it with my outstretched arm. And so the kids were like, "Wow," they'd never, you know, like, and it was like, "Wow." So the owl flew off. And this is the part that the mom, Carol, had taken their bicycles. 'Cause we set the bicycles down at the bridge. Okay. And we crossed the bridge, found the owl. And then Carol came up to the bridge and said, "You know, come on, let's get in the car. Let's go." And the little girl who was probably 9 or something, I guess she would have been, she yells back to her mom, like, "Mom, do you love Mike? Do you love Mike?" it should have been like kind of awkward, but it was really endearing. And she's like, no, "We're just good friends. We're just good friends." And they drove off. And so that story...
Right.
That story has this subtle little details that don't make for a great story. I can tell you some other ones, but that was something that happened to me. And that I have stories like that of that kind of flavor of that intensity that go on and on. And
right.
On.
Because it's just the coincidence that you're seeing her with the children and then you see the owl. It's like,
and then the little girl saying about love. It felt like it elevated the whole experience and charged it with something I did not expect.
Let me ask you, in that area where originally you were telling me that you had gone camping, were there UFO sightings there in that area?
Not that I know of. And I've asked around.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I was just wondering, I wonder, you know, was it that they were trying to give you a message as far as
Well, they did give me a message. Origin? I had a voice in my head that said, this has something to do with UFOs.
But let me ask you, at that point, didn't you say, weren't you like, okay, how's that? You know, weren't you kind of perplexed? Like, what's the connection?
I can say unequivocally, like with no doubts, my life changed.
Okay.
My life was going on one trajectory. I had an experience of camping with Kristen and owls, and my life just changed. And I've never been able to go back.
Isn't that incredible that you know how you have those markers in your life where you say before this event and after this event, there's this one event.
And it's not that interesting when you get right down to it. We saw some owls going camping.
Right, exactly.
But it changed my life.
Interesting. God, that's incredible. That is incredible because like you said, to some people, you know, sometimes it's something more powerful out of their, you know, maybe a... God knows things out of their control, but this, like you said, is more subtle. And on the face of it, you would think, okay, it was nice, it was interesting, but I guess now in hindsight, you say, from this point onward, is when things changed for me, taking me in a different direction.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah. Honestly, like, I lost some friends. You know, people were like, oh, yeah, Mike's gone off the deep end. And I found a bunch of new friends.
Okay.
And I no one's ever said anything mean to my face. I don't know what they're saying behind my back, but no one's ever said anything to my face.
Okay.
And the richness of my life has changed enormously. So I have been going to UFO conferences and someone asked me like, well, now that you're doing this work and how, you know, like you, like how has your life changed? And that was a good question. I had to think. And I said, I now live in a magical universe.
Right. Yeah. You see things differently. It's like, you know, when you have the eyes to see.
Yeah.
And I'm
very open in it. And the world is granting me is like reflecting back that magic.
Like Mike, what were the stories that you were getting? Like you said, all of a sudden I'm getting these stories. What were the stories of people noticing a tie in between seeing an owl or something? And was it that they saw a UFO, they had a UFO experience, or was it like, how did they tie in and realize, okay, there's a connection here between these two things?
Oh, I mean, it's like, so this is one of the very first ones I've gotten. I have since met this fellow. He contacted me through email and he lived in New York City and I have friends in New York City. So when I used to live in New York City. So when I met him, I was visiting friends in New York. We talked. And so this fellow's name is Derek. And he was camping in the desert of Arizona. He was with a friend. Okay. And it was nighttime and the stars are spectacular in the desert. He looks up at the sky and looks up at a big cactus, and an owl staring down at them from this cactus, him and his friend. Right. And he's like, wow, that is, and they both got the weird feeling. Like owls have a sinister vibe sometimes. Wow, they are heavy. They are not, it's not like looking at a bunny rabbit. Wow.
Right.
They got an aura about them. So the owl, looks at him for a little bit and they're like intimidated, and the owl flies off. And a moment later, a triangle shaped UFO flies over their campsite, totally silent. And he described how it flew and hugged the terrain. They were like in a canyon.
Okay.
And this triangle craft, like flying curiously slow, like hugged the canyon. He fought to like try to describe how it was moving.
Right.
And then we talked and like, so what else is going on in your life? And he said, well, like a few days later, I was driving in the car. We got off the camping trip and we had a sunroof in the car, and there was a bright light that followed us, you know, right above the sunroof. Like it wasn't a star, it was daylight. And I'm like, okay. And then anything else? And he said, this is something. So he talked a bunch of things. He talked about having dreams about being lifted out of bed and being passed through the walls. And they were very subtle kind of things that like, I'm just one person and it's not my job to tell someone if they've had UFO contact. The term abduction is kind of heavy handed. It doesn't quite fit everyone's experiences. So I use that term begrudgingly sometimes, cause it's the only word we have, but UFO contact or however you want to say it. So he said, oh, I had dreams of being floated out of my bed and through the wall by little beings. I'm like, okay, well, that as a, someone who does UFO research, that like little red flag goes up in my mind here when you say that. So, and then he said something that at the time I just was like, what? He said, oh, I had a spiritual awakening right around this time.
Wow.
And that is tied into this whole thing. People will say, I had a spiritual awakening. Like, so I say, what was going on in your life before your owl sighting or your UFO sighting? Mm-hmm. I said, oh, my life was going on this one way. What happened afterwards? So I had a spiritual awakening. So here's a story that I just got recently.
Okay.
And this is, so a woman contacts me and she pulls into her driveway at night and she's on her phone talking with her father. She pulls in the driveway and there's what she at first thinks is a little child in the driveway. And then it opens its wings and it flies up into a branch and it's an owl.
Oh, for a minute that was like, what? Dad, what? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this it was an owl, but it was just in the headlights. She thought it was a child.
Okay.
So she flies up. So the owl flies up to a tree and her son is in the house. So she goes and she gets on the phone and says, get out here right now. There's an owl in the yard. So the owl comes out and this owl flies off the branch, comes down with its talons and touches her hair. And the little boy is like, Mom, or he was a teenager. He's like, Mom, are you okay? And she said, oh, no, I'm fine. It was really gentle. It was really gentle. So after that, she says she went to a Little League game. The son played Little League. And there was just another parent in the stands. And she happened to be sitting next. And she brought it, she knew him from the scene, the Little League. And she asked the woman, like, what, you know, like, how's things going? And the woman said, well, I got some health issues and I need someone to donate a kidney. And the woman says, I'll give you mine. And the lady's like, well, it doesn't work that way. I mean, you'd have to go through a test and we have to be compatible biologically and stuff like that. And she said, I'll take the test. So she takes a test and the doctor, like, it takes a little while for the test to come back. And the doctor says, like, is this your sister? So no, it's not my sister. No. And it's like, well, okay. Cause it's like I would actually say, is this your twin sister? You're so biologically compatible. And she got the, she donated her kidney. She gave her kidney to this other woman.
Incredible.
So, and then later, so let's go back to the event in the driveway. A few days later, she goes hiking with a friend. And they hike the same trail all the time. And the sun went down and they get back to their car. And as they get back to the car, they look up in the sky and there's this like bright lights like flying over the parking lot. And she's got pictures of it. It's really not much to see. It's these little dots in the sky.
Okay.
And she says, well, there's, and these bright lights were in the sky. And we like, here's the picture. But, and then she said, oh, and everything in the parking lot turned red. Okay. Like, it's like, what? And she's like, well, this asphalt turned red and the cars all turned red and the trees all turned red and the sky turned red. Everything turned red. And she's got pictures of like, it looks like someone took red cellophane and they took pictures of the parking lot through red cellophane. And then I asked the question that I ask all the time. What was going on in your life leading up to the sighting, which would be the owl sighting, because that came first. I was on the phone with my father and said, what were you talking about? She said, I had just made the decision to give up my kidney.
Oh, wow.
So this is the flavor. That's a very subtle story, right? There's no flying, there's no bright flying saucers in it. There's a weird little dots and light in the sky. And there's the detail of everything turning red. But I mean, this owl touched her head.
That's incredible because you don't, I've never even heard of that. You know, God knows, they're birds of prey, but normally they leave humans out of it. And
I mean, that's like to have to touch the top of your head. So,
yes.
So here, I talk to people all the time on the phone and I talk to people and I ask the question. So one of the questions I ask is, do you have any healing abilities? And I'll have a piece of paper and a clipboard when I talk to people on the phone and I don't write down much. I write their phone number and the date and their names spelled correctly. So if they ever get back to me, I can look. It's usually a page of like quick notes I can send just if I ever talk to them again. But on the corner of that page, whenever I talk to someone, I write Reiki.
Okay.
Like Reiki therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So these people are contacting me. They've had owl and UFO stories. Owl and UFO. And then I say, I just wait. And I say, so like, what are you doing for work? And they're like, well, I'm a Reiki therapist. Or they'll say, oh, I just got my Reiki 3 certification. Or, oh, I'm doing, if it's not Reiki, it's some other healing modality. Okay. They're doing some hands-on healing or something like that. I didn't have to ask the lady if she has healing abilities. The lady who gave up her kidney. Right? I mean, it doesn't get more direct than like, take my kidney for your health. I'm going to heal you by giving you my kidney.
It's not only that, it's that she was such a compatible match.
Yeah. It's like, anytime you take these stories apart, like it's not just one coincidence. It's like 15 coincidences all jammed together. All of them as improbable as the one before, like leading up to it.
Yeah.
So the people I talk with that have UFO and owl experiences now, I need a staff, which I don't have. I would love to have like a staff of like statistical, you know, people who do statistical analysis at a college level. Like, look at my files and go through. My files are pretty tidy, but I have never crunched the numbers. But I will say I don't know exactly.
Okay.
But I'm going to say it's 50%, if not more, of the people who have owl and UFO experiences, owls and UFOs, 50% of them are Reiki healers.
That's incredible.
That is, I don't know where to go with. So I can speculate on what that might mean.
Right. Like, how interesting
it
is.
It doesn't surprise me anymore. Yeah.
Right. Like that you could say, okay, the odds on this are. That's
50% of the normal population is not Reiki healers.
Right, exactly. But these are the ones that the sources for the story, the people that are contacting you, that are having these experiences. This is the common denominator. They're having a UFO/AL experience. And of course, these are all people that don't know each other. It's not like
they don't know each
community
other,
of Reiki people that are calling me. You know, they're independently coming from different sources. And like you said, when you get into that conversation, or what do you do? Oh, I do Reiki.
So I think you read off a little list that owls show up along with psychedelics and meditation and death. And one of them, it would be shamanic initiation. So there's a culture, there's a brethren or a brotherhood or a community of shamans. People who study to be shamans. And there's like tiers of shamans. I think some people are, you know, there's someone in a village in Brazil in the jungle may have a different definition of what shaman means than someone who lives in a neighborhood in Ohio that works as a shaman. But I would argue that there's a core commonality.
Yes.
Within that community, the owl is well understood as a totem animal that shows up around the time of shamanic initiation. It's well understood.
Right. And I would say, you know, you always, like I said, I'm thinking the norm, the owl is wise, or bearer of knowledge. And then of course there's the other one, which was sighting an owl was a portent of death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those were like the kind of like, not that it brought it. It was just that it's telling you, it's giving you a heads up, but it's always had a reputation as being a mystical animal.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's other mystical animals, but that one is certainly mystical in a different way than, let's say, a deer or an eagle.
Well, it's almost like, I don't know if it's the way it looks at you. It's like
that's certainly, yeah. Everyone recognizes the power of an owl when it looks at you. Yeah.
Yes.
Different than when a deer looks at you, or different than when an owl. Yeah. So, so the mythology of the owl would be, and I've, do you know, Maxwell Jordan or Jordan Maxwell? He died a few years ago. He was a researcher.
Name sounds familiar, but right off the bat, no.
Yeah. He died a few years ago. He was in his 80s when he died, and he was doing like esoteric research in the 1960s. So he just died maybe 2 or 3 years ago. So I got his phone number. Someone gave me his phone number. There was an appointment. I was on fire. If I wanted to talk to someone, I was going to call him. So I got his phone number. I called him up and he said, "Who are you?" Like,
what's the worst he could do? Hang up on me?
Yeah. Like, what's the worst thing? So we talked and he said, "Okay, listen, before you hang up on me, I have to ask one question. Like what's the symbolic meaning of the owl?" And he goes, "The owl can see into the darkness. And everyone knew that from ancient man to present day. So they can see into the darkness. They can fly in the forest in complete darkness. And that very quickly turns. So there's a metaphor for flying into the land of the dead and flying into the land of the ancestor, for flying into the land of the gods.
Yes.
Right. So the forest meant something. The nighttime meant something much different than it does now. We have electric light bulbs. The night doesn't have its mystique at all anymore. Right. But at a certain chapter in the human history, when all those legends and all those mythologies rose up and played their important role in our lives, the night was something very frightening.
Sure. Sundown. In
a place of testing.
The coming of night, it was like, everybody come inside.
Yeah. So the owl could see into the dark, could go to the land of the ancestors, could go to that other realm, the land of the dead, and then it would return with a message. So it was well understood. It was a messenger. Now that mythology, and then you have also the Athena, the Greek goddess of wisdom, had an owl as a companion. It was called a little owl. And there's a species of owl called the little owl. And there are these cute little owls. They're about this big. Yeah,
one time I had one in another house I lived in. It was an old farmhouse. And I'm assuming it came in through the chimney. And we had a big flat screen TV that sat on the mantelpiece. All of a sudden, when we look up, and there's this little owl sitting.
Wait a minute, you had an owl in your house?
Oh yeah. And it was like, okay, it's just sitting there looking at us, and we're like, okay. So we had like big French doors. We opened it, you know, like, you need to go. So we assumed that it had come through the chimney. Every once in a while, some bird would do that. Just sat there. It just looked at us, and we're like, okay, you gotta go. And so sure enough, it did. It made a beeline and it went out the front door.
So what type of work are you doing now? I mean, you're hosting a podcast on the paranormal.
Yes. What kind of work have I done? Well, let's see. I was been a hypnotherapist. I mean, I've had my regular job, you know, all my life, but I was a hypnotherapist. I've been a paranormal investigation all my life. I'm very familiar with Reiki. I've studied Reiki, but besides that I really, really haven't truly been a Reiki practitioner. But I always used to do alternative hypnosis, you know, I did traditional as in, but I also did alternative hypnosis, a lot of the things of that nature. So, okay. Yeah.
You ask around how many people have had an owl in their house. It's not many.
Really?
Not many. And then the people I talk with, like people come to me all the time with owl stories. Owls getting in your house. Yeah. So that you had an owl in your house and you're hosting a paranormal show and you're doing hypnotherapy and ghost hunting.
There's an owl out here and we, you know, we hoot at each other. And it was hilarious because I had to cut down a tree here, a big oak, because we were afraid it was going to fall where we lived. So, and I got a big ceramic chick. I have chickens also. And I put a big ceramic rooster on there. And the first couple of nights it came out, you could tell I was trying to figure out why this chicken didn't move, you know, because usually you could tell it was like there, like you could tell I was looking at it and I was like, yeah, go ahead, try to take that. But yeah, it's like, but yeah. And I have a feeling we've got like a wooded area. She's either got a nest or something close by, but yeah, I hear her on and off and hooting and stuff like that. So it's a big one too. It's a real big one. Like when you see her in the dark, she's like, whoa, it's an impressive owl. Yeah.
So that you had an owl in your house.
Yeah, but it was one, like you said, it was one of those little ones.
Oh, it's still an owl. I count owl t-shirts. It was one of those little ones.
They're real
lunchboxes.
Cute. They almost look like little, like a little toy almost. They're so small and petite. Yeah.
Yeah. So that doesn't surprise me. Okay. How interesting.
Yeah. They're very cute. Very cute. But, you know, we didn't, again, you know, at that point, you don't read anything into it as in, hey, it got in through the chimney. And it just came out and it, like I said, it just perched on the edge of the flat screen and looked at us. I was like, oh, okay. But yeah. And again, it's what you're saying. Sometimes as if there was any synchronicities around that time, that moment's been lost. You know what I'm saying? Unless sometimes you're really looking for some event and you tie it in right now, you could kill me and I can't tell you what I was doing or what was going on with me. Around that time, probably I was writing a book. I take it. I probably was. But it's one of those things. I've always liked owls. I know there's, like you said, sometimes owls have this not sinister, but scary connotation, even with Halloween and stuff like that. But I've never, personally, I've never thought of owls that way. I think they're very mysterious, but in a, how can I tell you? Like, I like that. You know, I've never, the mystique is not a scary mystique as far as I'm concerned. So and that's why I'm not surprised when you're saying a UFO. That was like, wow.
Why that's very well. It's well understood within the field, with people see owls in connection with UFOs. Very well understood. So I didn't invent that. I just got totally obsessed with it. Yeah,
it's one of those things. That's why I think it's so fascinating, because it's it almost begs the question: is there a connection between the owls and the extraterrestrials, or is this an animal that's cognizant of something? But then at the same time, you're saying, somehow or other, it's aware of, how can I say, maybe a turning point coming in your life or something that you're doing in your life that you're thinking, is it aware of on a metaphysical level? How's that?
Exactly. Yeah. Like I try not to come up with the whys, like, right. How did it happen? Cause I'll never sure. know. Right. Why did the owl show up at that moment? I'm like, well, I can't answer that, but I can say that within that moment, it has a powerful sort of dream logic quality. Right. And I use that term a lot, dream logic. Cause there's kind of like, in fiction, mm-hmm. if you're writing a fiction story, you would want to add those little details to add drama to the story, but they show sure. up in real life. And what I'm finding is, so the owls, and I should be able to, there's five things I should be able to do right off the top of my head. So the owls show up with associated, if highly charged human events, I'll call these. One of them is mm-hmm. UFOs, which are highly right. charged, right? And the other one is powerful synchronicities.
Okay.
Meditation. I got a lot of stories about people meditating and seeing owls. Mm-hmm. Shamanic initiation.
Okay.
And did I say death?
Yes.
So that's five. I think I did that right.
Right. And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So what I'm saying is that the UFO is just another highly charged human event, right? So okay. it's not, there's nothing special about the UFO, because the owl is showing up at the time of these other highly charged markers. I have, so one woman, here's this one woman was called me up. I was with my girlfriend at the time. Her name was Andrea, and we were sitting on the couch, and it's morning, and we're drinking coffee, and it's wintertime, and we're in upstate New York, and she says, my friend Suzanne just emailed me, and look at this picture. Do you know, she's asking if this owl is okay. And she shows me the owl, and it's like a picture of an owl, like right on her back porch, sitting on a chair in the snow. And I'm like, well, he looks fine to me. Like, what's the story? Mm-hmm. And so Suzanne says, I was meditating, and I opened my eyes, and this owl was directly in line with my eyes on the back porch when I opened my eyes meditating. I said, okay, what were you meditating about? And I said, it's the anniversary of my mother's death, and I still haven't gotten over my mother's death, and I'm grieving. And I was meditating to come to terms with it, and basically to come to the end of the grieving process. Wow, this is, just so you know, this is very common. Very common.
Almost like that.
So she opens her eyes. She meditates for her mom on her mom's birthday.
Yeah.
It was the anniversary of her mother's birthday, not the mother's death, but it was her mother's birthday. Mm-hmm. And she opens her eyes and there's an owl. And I said, like, you open that window and you talk to that owl like it's your mom. And I said that because that happens all the time. People do that all the time. Sure. So she does. And she said the owl, like, sat there for a little bit and it flew off to a tree, and it sat in this tree and watched the house all day long. And so she said, if I had been sitting a little over this way meditating and I opened my eyes, I wouldn't have seen the owl. The owl was mm-hmm. like all the way at the other end of the long hallway, right in the window, centered in the window. And if I had been just like this, I wouldn't have seen it. But when I opened my eyes, the owl was there. I've heard a lot of stories just like that.
Right. That like you said, the synchronicity, it's difficult to ignore it. Because any other day, maybe.
Her intention was so, yeah.
And what you said, Mike, that you yourself have tested it. In other words, you said, if it doesn't happen this way, you know, in other words, I'm going to not let my imagination run away. If I don't, like you said, if it crosses my path, not that if I see it, you know, off in the in the field or anything. And you still had some type of verification.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because you were, that was your intention. It was like, I need to make sure that I'm not the one that sees, you know, something, you know, I'm not seeing these synchronicities because I'm making them up as I go along, you know, or I'm tying them in, even though they're not.
Yeah. There's lots of owls, right? If you want to see owls, you can go, you just walk, get up in the morning and count how many owls you are. There's owls on billboards and coffee cups, and they're all over the place. So they're like a little thing that show up in our lives all the time, but I'm looking at how they connect to the highly charged human experiences. So that, and what I'm finding is like in Shakespeare, there's like a, in Julius Caesar, there's an owl that shows up before a death, and also in Macbeth, an owl shows up before a death. I'm not finding that. I got a couple small examples of that. And I have a, someone sent me a story and their father had a heart attack.
Okay.
And they the ambulance came and they wheeled him into the back of the ambulance, and the daughter got in the back of the ambulance with her father. And then right out the door, right before they closed the door, there was an owl on a branch looking straight into the back of the ambulance, and the father died. So it wasn't the owl's fault that the father died, but that was, that detail was, I thought was very,
excuse me. You know what? And I'm going to throw this. Do you remember, I want to say this song was out like in the 70s. You could kill me right now. I don't know what the name of the group was, but it was basically the gist of was that they sighted an owl and they knew, God, that they, somebody was going to die. Part of the song was the howl, I've seen the owl, or the owl's been hooting three nights in a row outside or something like that, or sighted. Oh my God. It was one of those songs, I want to say early 70s. Oh, Marlene, I wish I could remember.
Oh, right, is now. It Wildfire? I can't remember.
Wildfire, yes.
The horse dies. Wasn't it the horse dies? Or the?
No.
Oh, because
no,
it wasn't. I'll Be Riding Wildfire as a horse.
Right.
And right in the beginning, there's an owl hooting three nights in a row. Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it was like that thing that was like the owl's letting you know that this is going to happen. And he's like, you know, his song, of course, is like, this is the portent of death, you know? And it was like, that was one of those songs when you start talking about it, I go, wait a minute. I said, but that was.
So that's right in mythology. That's right in, and nobody has to like the person who wrote that song didn't I'm certain they didn't go through like a book on mythology and say, they just wrote it from their heart. It just emerged on the page like that. But I'm not finding many stories where owls show up before a death. I'm finding lots where they show up after a death. And it's often associated with a form of the ending of the grieving process.
Right. And the thing is that sometimes
it's a form of healing.
We look at things as far as the symbol, the symbology of it. You know, what it means to that person. In other words, that person that's grieving sees the symbol of the owl in a certain way that maybe a person that wasn't grieving would just see the owl for what it is, an owl, an animal, whatever. But it's the context of that person, that what that symbol means to them at that moment in time. You know, whether, and like that story you just said where she's meditating about the death of her mom and coming to the end of what she's hoping is going to be a grieving process. And she sees that owl, and it's almost like to reassure her it's okay.
Oh,
excuse me.
So this one woman. So this is my own story, and I've told this many times. And at first I was kind of shy telling this story, but I really feel like it's an important story, and I'm happy to share it. My mom died in 2012. Okay. Oh, excuse me, 2013. And I was visiting my sister in North Carolina. When my mother, she had an aneurysm and lost consciousness, and my brother and sister and I all went to stay with my sister. And my mom was living right down the road from my sister at an assisted living facility. And she had really good care right up until the very end. And so my brother, sister, and I would take turns sitting by my side, my mom's bed. And she was unconscious. And so my sister and I were together when my mom died, and my brother was arrived shortly thereafter. We contacted him. And so I was holding my mom's hand on one side of the bed, and my sister was holding my mom's hand on the other side of the bed. It was really a touching, moving experience, but it happened at like 4 in the morning. And the next, we didn't get any sleep. And then, you know, we were like, and so that whole next day, we were trying to take naps and trying to sleep. We were kind of like, there's lots to do and lots to plan. And just me, my brother and sister. And so that night, we sat in my sister's backyard, and she lives in the South, and it was a pretty porch. And her next door neighbor, or the woman across the street, came over. Her name was Ruthie. Now, at that time, this would have been 2012. I was already doing this owl research.
Okay.
And my brother and sister had no idea what to make of it. I would get up in the morning with my sister, and I would open my email inbox, and I would read these stories. Here's another story, Jeannie. One more story. And I read this owl story, and she had no idea what to think. My brother, I think my brother was a little intimidated by it, a little scared. He did not like me to bring it up. So I wisely don't bring it up very often. So Ruthie, the lady across the street, my sister's best friend, is sitting on the back porch with us. So I'm in the middle of the couch. My brother's on one side and my sister's on the other. And was the kid brother, right? So Ruthie's sitting across from us. And Ruthie says, "Jim, Jean, Mike, I want to tell you that I know there is an afterlife. And I know with certainty because of an experience I had with an owl." And my sister literally goes like, she does this thing where she puts her hand over her hands. No, 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 I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And my brother gives me this look like,
did you tell her something?
Did you put her up to this? Like, was this like something? And I'm like, and you could see poor Ruthie's face was like, what did I just say? Like, and here she is. Right. And I'm like, Ruthie, you don't know it, but I've been doing this owl research, and owls seem to be connected to like highly charged human experiences, including but I want to hear your story. So she tells my brother, sister, and I, she says, I was grieving the death of my father. Daddy died and I was grieving the death. And I had her write this message, write this letter out like afterwards. I said, can you write this in your own words? And she did. And she, this was well before the book came out. She was one of those people that just called it a messenger in the story she wrote out. So here's the story she told. There's a nature trail that goes around the neighborhood. It's a cute little nature trail and people walk their dogs on it and it just goes through the trees and stuff. So she would walk every day through the nature trail as part of her grieving process to get, and then every day she'd pass an owl on the same branch.
Okay.
And she stopped one day and the owl hooted at her and she stopped right in front of it. And she thought, the owls don't come out during the day. What is this? And she looked up at the owl and they locked eyes. And she said, are you my daddy? And right at that moment, all her grief evaporated.
Okay.
And the owl flew off. And she says, I know there's an afterlife because of the messenger.
Right.
And I am convinced, I can't prove this, but in my heart, I feel convinced that that story at that moment.
That's incredible.
Was presented not to me. I didn't need any proof, right? I already read the 1,000 letters and talked to hundreds of people about their experiences. I didn't need any proof, but my brother and sister needed a story. And there is no one on earth that would be a better, more heartfelt, thoughtful, believable person than my sister's friend, Ruthie.
Absolutely. There was no way they could look at her or blame you, in other words.
Yeah, exactly. So that was done. That was staged. I feel that event was staged for the benefit of my brother and sister.
Exactly. And you know what's really interesting? Because in these stories, it's almost, you know how people, I want to say they want to end their grieving, but they're thinking, is the timing right? Like, should I maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Do you need to grieve? Yeah. Is it okay to stop grieving or move on? And it's almost like telling them it's okay. You know, or that question that a lot of times people have about people that have passed on is like, are they okay? Yeah. And it's almost like, it's okay. We're okay. You know, go on with your life.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up with the guilt thing. Is everybody's different. You know, some people are more, how can I tell you? Some people grieve right away. Other people delay it. They hold on to it, you know. Or they suppress it and until they can handle it. And then, you know, the people that are very, you know, vocal and you can see they're grieving. And there's others that are like totally internalized. But let me ask you, and it almost seems like a lot of times these people have these moments when they're by themselves. Did you find that that's happens more often or no?
Oh, there's been many people seeing owls together, but lots of stories are people on their own. So, but I got a bunch.
And the reason why I'm asking is where they've had the sighting of an owl and one person interprets it one way and the other one's like, oh, it's an owl.
Oh, I got a good story for that. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I was at there was an event in Maine, probably 2014. So 2014, there was an event in Maine and this was I spoke at a conference about owls. So everyone was talking about owls, lots of owl talk. And I was early on. That was the first year I was speaking publicly on from a stage on the owl stuff. That's 9 years ago. So, and this after the conference was a very small little conference. The woman who ran the conference, her name is Audrey. She invited everyone up to like a little lake house in Maine. So it was a pretty lake it wasn't right on the lake, but you just walked down the path and there was a lake right there. And so it was this real pretty house and there was a bonfire at night and everyone hung out. And so two of them were my friends, Jack and Suzanne. And Suzanne has been very open about her UFO contact experiences. And her husband, Jack, has also had his own experiences.
Okay.
And at that lake house thing, I remember Jack was sitting around. It was this totally sunny, beautiful day. And he's in the lounge chair and he's got a beer. And he's like, you know, his dad died a few years earlier. He said, you know, I feel like I'm turning into my dad. Like, I feel like I just hear my dad's voice coming out of my mouth. I'm turning into my dad. And I feel like my dad's here. I just feel like my dad's here right now. This is the kind of thing he would have liked. And then that night, there was a UFO skywatch.
Okay.
And so I was there. And it was actually kind of funny because there was all these, I'm going to be cautious to say, there's a lot of women. Okay. And they were all kind of like together. And they were all pointing the same spot in the sky. And okay. They were like, oh, there's going to be a light there. It's right there. It's right at that point in the sky. And I was kind of like, I almost felt like I was interrupting. I was kind of like, this doesn't feel right that I'm here.
Okay.
You know, like, it just felt like this is their thing. And it was funny. They were kind of like one woman would say, let's imagine ourselves in a bubble of white light. And like, no, let's, and they were all kind of one-upping each other with their little kind of aphorisms and stuff. And I was like, ooh, this is their thing. I'm going to step away. Uh-huh. And I walked away and I got about 10 steps out of the circle with my back and they all went, whoa. And there was this big bright flash in the sky. And they said it was like a million watt lighthouse that just kind of blink, just passed and kind of blinked. So it wasn't just like a click. It was like, it was
right.
And they got so excited and they were all yippee. And so two women were on the beach.
Okay.
Pam and Carol. Were there and they were good friends. Pam and Carol were there on the beach. And it's about midnight and it's getting late. And they go, hey, we saw it, yippee. And they all walk away and everyone goes back. And Pam and Carol stay on the beach. And this is like October or late September in Maine, far north. And it's kind of like by the time September comes along and it's nighttime, it's like you're right by the water. It was cold and clammy. Like it was like you didn't want to hang out there. So they're on the little beach chairs and they're talking. And then all of a sudden they look at their watches. And it was about a midnight when they saw the flash and then they just sat there and chatted and they figured they'd been talking for a few minutes and they looked at the clock. It was 4 a.m. It's like, where did those 4 hours go? Uh-huh. Like they didn't fall asleep.
Right.
And I was like, I was there. I wouldn't want to sit in a chair for 4 hours.
Exactly.
Like I would be like cold and clammy and I wouldn't want it. And so they went back. And so everyone at the beach house, at the lake house was staying in tents. They had a big giant yard and they kind of had like all these tents and they're all crammed together. So they went to their tent and they had to kind of tiptoe through the other tents and get there. So Carol and Pam are sleeping in the same tent together. And Carol whispers to Pam, she says, let's ask the owl if we really did see something tonight. And as soon as she said that, there was a loud hooting.
Oh my God.
Like immediately. And then the hooting got closer. And the owl was right on, like on a branch right across on above them. And there was literally branches falling down onto their tent as this owl is hooting really loud. And it was a barred owl. We got up the next morning and we looked, they can go online and listen to owl things. They found me. I was sleeping on the other side of the house in the yard. I didn't hear any of this. And then they found me the next morning. Like, Mike, we've been looking for you. What kind of owl was this? And then we talked about it. And then we were right there and the branches. So Jack and Suzanne were in the next tent next to them. So two tents side by side.
Okay.
Owl right above him, hooting super loud, branches falling on top of the tent, like unmistakable. It was a barred owl, which is the loudest North American owl. Like it sounds like a chimpanzee in a Tarzan movie. And the stick's landing on their tent. And Jack immediately gets his phone out and looks at the time. It was 4:20. His father died on April 20th. So 4:20. Wow. So the owl, immediately he recognizes this is connected to my father and my father's death. Immediately.
Okay.
Owl sticks land on the tent. He sits up, grabs his phone, 4:20. This is connected to my father's death. The next tent over, Carol says, let's ask the owl if we really saw a UFO. God. And so they're side by side.
That right there, they must have been, I imagine they couldn't have gone back to sleep because I wouldn't be able to go back to sleep.
No, they were totally like wiggy the next morning. And I was the owl guy. I had talked about owls. They were like, where's Mike? We got to find him. And so when I walked out, like, hey, everyone, good morning. And where's my coffee? And then they're like, Mike, we got to talk to you. So yeah, they were totally, but so side by side, two totally different symbolic meanings to the same owl directly over them.
And it had, depending on, it meant something different to the people. And it was, but it was the same event.
It's the
in
same
other words.
Owl. It was the same. Yeah. So
that's incredible. And it's true. The symbology behind it is different depending on whatever is happening with that person. You know, what's the connection? Like for, like you said, that man, it had to do with his dad's death. And they posed a question, which is like, wow, talk about impeccable timing kind of thing.
So I just did a podcast a few weeks ago, and his name is Juan, and there's a podcast that's called Juan on One. It was a great interview. So this guy, he says, you know, he was a young guy, and he says, I knew I was going to be doing the podcast with you this today. We did it, like, I can't remember what time it was, like in the afternoon or something. And then last night, I was with my wife and my little boy. The boy was like 5, so he's little. And we're in the backyard. And I knew I was going to be talking to this guy about owls tomorrow. And we're in the backyard. And he said, I know we're going to see an owl tonight. I know we're going to see an owl tonight. Like, I just know it. And the little boy goes, Dad, look. And he points up. And there's a floating, glowing orange orb floating through the backyard.
Wow.
So my research is about owls and UFOs. I get this all the time. People are saying, I'm going to see an owl. And then they see a UFO. So that happened the night before we spoke. So there's the owl and UFO getting mixed up.
I'm sorry. That's
The phone?
No, you know what it is? It's Amber Alert.
The Amber Alert. Oh,
yeah.
The cops
you know, even though you've got your phone silenced, the Amber Alert will go off.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, bypasses the thing. I got to look to see, but.
Oh, so there we have an alarm. We have an alarm. Like, just
I know.
As I'm getting
like,
to this high point of the conversation.
My owl, I say that. I say she. I really don't know if it's a she. I'm just making. You know, I just gave it. Identified. Gave it that gender. But she, you know, she. Like I said, usually I hear her hooting when the sounds good. Sun's going down. But she's come out sometimes in the mornings, or I'll hear her hoot, or in the middle of the day, or she'll hear me talking. I kid you not. But I know you're going to appreciate it because you're an owl guy. I've been out there, and all of a sudden I'll see her fly from over there, and because I've got these like 500-year-old live oaks in my yard, which are huge, and. Goes out there. It's like, she's, by the way, she's done it a couple of my chickens. All right. And I'm like, no, you can't, you know, we have, like I'm saying, we have like this, this relationship. And, but yeah, I know what you mean. And then, you know, for a while I won't hear from her. And then like a couple of days ago, was it yesterday or the day before? I remember I heard her hooting, and it was like almost in the afternoon. I was like, wait a minute, what are you doing? What's up? Like I said, normally when I hear her hooting is either sundown or a couple of times, but usually it's around sundown. Or she'll go to this other tree and just like look at me, and I'm like, yeah, I see you. You're not getting any of my chickens. Okay, sorry, be on your way.
And the big owls,
mice.
The big owls will show up in daylight. It's not uncommon to see big owls, but the tiny, tiny owls will almost only ever come
they,
out at night.
They. But yeah, you could. I know she's that. This is her area, her territory, or something in this area, you know. So, but yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, like everything, you know, you it's part of nature and you like it, and you know, like I said, she's taken a couple of my chickens, but it is what it is, you know. She's being true to her nature. But yeah, she hangs out here every once in a while, more often than not. But I've never tried to, you know, how can I say it? I see her or hear her so often I've never tried to make a connection between hearing her and it's like, and anything. It's just like, because she's always around on or off out there. But that's, let me tell you something. I'm so fascinated because, again, that UFO, those letters or those messages that you've gotten from people who have a tie-in between UFO sightings and the owl thing. That's like, wow.
So I spoke with a friend. I met this guy at a conference. So this is one of these stories to tell. It just gets so tangled up and complicated. So I was doing a conference. I was speaking at a conference and Suzanne, this is going to Suzanne. I got a lot of stories with Suzanne. So Suzanne, from the story, Suzanne and Jack. Okay. So Suzanne was in her yard and she'd been hearing what she thought was a baby raccoon. And she realized, no, it's an owl. It's been outside her and Jack's bedroom window night after night after night. So she hears it one day in the evening and she says, I'm going to go out. She said this, I'm going to get a recording from Mike. So she takes her phone, she puts on a record and she walks up to the apple tree. It's right on her neighbor's yard, but it's like basically the apple trees. So she stands, that's right on the, right next to her house. So she stands and she walks up to the tree to get this owl. And as she walks up to the tree, there's an orange orb that glows in the tree.
Okay.
And then she looks at it for a while and it's big and bright and glows and then it disappears. So orange orbs show up a lot in this research. Don't ask me why, but then orange orbs, I don't know what they mean. And so it disappears. So she's got like and she never got the recording of it. It was a Eastern screech owl, which make a funny noise. It sounds like a Barbie horse. The way I describe it, it sounds like a little Barbie sized horse that Barbie would ride. And it makes a little whinny, but it sounds like a little, they're not that big. They're about this big.
Okay.
So I was going to tell that story at a conference. It was actually at the, so funny. It was at the conference.
Okay.
Where the Lake House event was. So I'm going to tell the story. So so that night, like before the conference was starting, I was like, because in a presentation, you do a PowerPoint presentation. You can put sound effects in and stuff like that. And so I was like, I'm going to put a sound effect of the Eastern screech owl. So I could not, I'm pretty good with computers and I got a website and blogs and stuff like that. I could not figure out how to transfer it. You just take it and put it in there. But for some reason I couldn't transfer it. And I spent all this time, I stayed up late and I couldn't figure out how to transfer the sound onto the thing.
All right.
And I was like, we were driving the next morning. Andrea and I were going to drive to the conference the next morning, early, long drive between upstate New York and Maine. It's like, you know, 5 hours or something. So I was like, oh, it was super frustrating. So I go to bed at night. And that morning, when I wake up, the sun is just peeking through the window. We're going to get up early. And there's this hooting right outside the window. And I had been listening to it all last night. It was an Eastern screech owl. I'd never heard one before. Right out the window, hoots at our window. And Andrea goes, was that an owl? And I'm like, it sure was. It was basically telling me, you put that thing in the PowerPoint presentation. You get up now and figure out how to do it.
Right.
So I literally had like a laptop and I held it up to my other computer, my desktop, and played it on the laptop and recorded it on the desktop. It was kind of not, you know, it was pretty low tech, but
it was like, so anyway,
it's in it. So I give the thing and I say, and then Suzanne heard the noise in the yard and I push the button and it woo, woo, makes this noise. And she walks out and tries to get a picture with her phone and she sees an orange orb and it disappears. And like, Suzanne's in the audience. I'm like, how am I doing, Suzanne? Did that? Like, oh, you told it right. Great. And so this guy, Mike, comes out of the audience afterwards or comes up to me and says, I almost jumped out of my chair when you played that owl sound effect. She said, he has a little boy. He's like a 3-year-old boy. He said, I've been hearing that sound coming from the baby monitor of my son's room.
Oh, what?
Isn't that spooky? And I was like, oh, so I sat down with this guy. I didn't have anything. It's like, oh, and he had all these stories. So this guy, Mike, gets back to me later. And he says, Oh, I have a story to tell you. This happened, and so he's telling me on the chat. He's chatting with me, and I'm like, "What's your story?" He says, "Well, I was." So these are all dated. All these things are time stamped,
right?
And I'm really like, the number thing makes me crazy sometimes. So he's telling me this thing, and he says, I was driving home from work, and I was crossing a bridge. This is in Massachusetts. I don't want to use his name. So he's driving across the bridge in Massachusetts, and it's right in town, like right in the city. Mm-hmm. And he comes across the bridge, and an owl flies right up to his windshield, full daylight, scares the crap out of him. Says, oh my God, I'm scared. And so he has to make a left turn. He's in traffic, and he's like, whoa, this owl just whoo. And he's still like, he's still kind of wiggy about the owl. And he looks over, and there's a giant, like football field sized, copper colored flying saucer hovering above the buildings right next to the road.
Oh.
Nobody sees it. He's in traffic. Nobody's slowing down. He sees it. He's like stuck in traffic. So he has to keep moving. Like he can't stop his car. And he goes past, and this thing is kind of like seems to be rising up, and it was a cloudy day, and he keeps on driving. Mm-hmm.
And then he says,
you know what? I was listening to my MP player. I had my phone plugged into my car, listening to the thing through the car stereo. I was listening to a talk that I gave on UFOs and owls. I was like, you were listening to a talk on UFOs and owls, and you saw a UFO and an owl? He's like, yeah. Like boom, boom, boom. All happened at the same time. Like he sees the owl, makes a turn, sees the UFO, boom, boom, boom. And so the timestamp on, I said, what? Like I have all these things. I was fastidious these things afterwards. And I was like, oh, this was like A+ kind of like powerhouse event in my life.
So exactly.
I said, what? You saw a UFO and an owl as I was talking about UFOs and owls? And he said, yeah. So that timestamp was at 12:34. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Four.
That's incredible. A big, important number to me.
And this is the guy that heard that sound coming from the baby monitor?
The guy who has since become a good friend of mine. He came up and stayed with Andrea and me at the inn. We like went on hikes. He's a super great guy. Yeah. So, and oh my God, he works in a hospital as a male nurse.
Okay.
And there was all these wildlife pictures on the walls, like just the wildlife natural pictures. And they all had like a single little light. Go above them.
Okay.
And he's walking down, and then the one with the owl, when he would pass it, the light would go flicker, 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 flicker.
Oh, jeez. He was a billionaire.
He's had a lot of owl experiences. So yeah. And he's funny, and he's, oh my gosh. I'm just one person. Like I make this joke. I would love to have a staff to help me with all this. I can't
go ahead
keep up
and
with
parse
the letters.
all this information.
I can't keep up with the letters that people send me, these beautiful heartfelt letters. And I just feel so bad. I can't reply to all
you
of them.
You can't stay on top of that because people, and you know, what's really funny. I imagine there's gotta be people that have never said those stories except to you.
It's the first line of half of them.
I bet because
I've never told
my
husband
to anybody, I'm going to get a funny look.
I've never told my husband. I've never told my wife. I've never told. Yeah. It's like, yeah, exactly. So
yes. It's almost like, thank God I can tell it, you know, with it, and I know that you're going to understand and not they look at me like, hey, you know, what's wrong with you? Yes, that happens. And sometimes people, by the way, take stuff like this to their graves, you know, that.
I think hopefully the stuff is changing. And now there's like in the community, like people have heard of my book and stuff like that over the last, it's going to be 7-8 years now that the book's been out. So people are kind of familiar with this.
Okay.
This lore at this point. So here's a story. This is, I love the stories that don't have any UFOs in them. I know people, I like it. I'm like, it's like a relief to tell the stories without the UFOs in them sometimes. Cause it's still, it points to the power of the symbolism.
Okay.
A guy gets a hold of me, and him and his family run an apple orchard.
Okay.
An organic apple orchard. And so he goes in the backyard and in the back of the orchard, and it's near the forest, and he meditates there sometimes. So he was meditating, and as he was meditating, there's this loud screeching booming noise that comes out of the forest. It scares him. He said, hairs in the back of my neck stood up. He said, every part of me wanted to run away. But he said, no, I got to figure out what this is. So he walked into the forest, and there was an owl on a branch staring at him right at eye level, like staring at him, like squawk, 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 like chewing him out. Like, how dare you? Right. Rah, 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 rah. So this owl was looking right at me. He was yelling at me.
Okay.
And the owl flies off and he goes back to the house and he tells his wife, like, oh my God, without the meditating and the apple orchard, I heard this noise. I went in the trees. This owl's like mad at me. It was screeching at me. And she goes, oh, that's nice, honey. But set the table for dinner. She doesn't get it. So the kids are at the dinner table and he's got three, I think he's got two kids. And he says, like, just before dinner, I was in the back of by the forest in the back of the orchard. And I heard this noise. I went in the woods and there was an owl. And it was yelling, it was squawking, it was screeching at me. And the kids didn't care at all. Like, Dad.
Yeah.
and then he says, okay, listen. And he gets his camera and he goes to the forest and he says, like, my kids don't believe me. My wife doesn't believe me. I need a picture. This owl flies and lands on a branch right in front of him, gets a picture, and the owl flies off. And I use that picture in my talks. So the question, what was going on before the event?
Okay.
And I asked him, what was going on before the event? And he said, I was meditating on if there was God.
Wow. Let me tell you something, that everybody gets that type of answer you hear.
Well, I don't think everyone gets it, but
let me tell you something. He's pretty brave to go into the forest and find out what that was. I'd be like,
well, it was a barred owl. It was the same kind of owl that makes a really, really loud noise. And I've heard them. They sound like, that's the same noise that Jack and Suzanne heard. Okay. So one more. So gets so crazy. Okay. So Jack, I'm going to go. So Jack from Jack and Suzanne, he was working and he took a break and he went and sat in his car and he was reading my first book, The Messengers. Okay. And he was almost to the end of it. And he just he stepped out of the spot where he was working. He sat in his car. It was cold at night. And he just read the last few pages of the book, got to the end of the book. And then he said, as he put the book away, he was reading on his phone or his tablet, his tablet. And he reads the last few pages and he leaves the car and he says, I want to see an owl. And he looks up in the sky and he describes it as a bright light. He says it was as if someone took a razor blade and was behind the fabric of space, behind the fabric of the sky, and cut a little slit in the fabric of the sky and let light shine through. And I worked with him. I did a little drawing of this and I used a computer and did the little glowy light. And so he asked, he basically said, I want to see an owl. And he saw a UFO.
Which it's like, that's really weird. That's unusual.
That is not unusual to me.
Did he go get back in his car, go back into work? Like, I think I need to go back. Because to me, it's like, that's like instant delivery. You ask and here it is.
That's very common. It's very common.
Has there been any tie-ins between owls and cryptid sightings? And the reason why I ask this is I've heard a correlation between UFOs and cryptids.
So I've asked this of people who do cryptid work and they say, yes, they show up. And mostly what they say is like, there was a Bigfoot sighting. One guy had told me a story. It was like, there was a big giant pile of what they assumed was Bigfoot poop. And so they found it in the woods. There'd been noises. And so then when they were standing there, like taking pictures and analyzing and putting some poop in a little bag to take it back to analyze it and stuff, there was an owl on a branch watching them. That kind of thing that's not my forte, is looking into the cryptid sightings.
Right.
But that kind of story didn't surprise me. So that shows up.
That's interesting. That's like, you know, is that another tie-in that we're just kind of recognizing now, possibly, you know, where there's a significance to it, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. I've asked around and I've only gotten a couple little stories like that. And they were mostly just in ghost hunting, you know, people go to ghost hunting sites and they'll hear an owl. And
yes,
so that shows up too, but
yes, of course.
So it's tough to make if I only have one story, it's hard to make a big one or two stories. There's no pattern. I tend not to share those,
right.
But when I have a pattern,
as in when you've gotten all these others that they all have that same theme.
Yeah, exactly.
You're talking about, that is incredible. God. Mike, it has been absolutely wonderful to talk to you.
Yes, this was tons of fun. Yeah.
Oh, are you planning another book, or what are you going to do?
I'm writing a fiction book.
Oh, you are?
Very close to the end of it. Oh my gosh, has this been hard? Like when you write a nonfiction book, right?
Yeah.
You just report the report.
Yes.
And you try to be faithful to the person's thing, and you have them check. But when it's fiction,
right,
you can write whatever you want, and that's almost harder.
Yeah, people don't know. Wow. Like you can paint yourself into a corner sometimes with storylines. It's like
I did. I painted myself into lots of corners. So this took a lot longer than I thought would like to
finish. Exactly. So when are you going to be releasing it this year?
Soon, hopefully. Oh, it'll be this year sometime. So
okay.
I mean, it's only February. Hopefully, hopefully it will be released in 2023. Yeah.
Yes, I know what that's like. Been there, done that. Again, thank you so much. I hope you're going to come back.
Anytime.
So we can have more owl stories. I think this is so fascinating.
I'm not going to run out of owl stories. Yeah. So
oh,
if you take my books,
it sounds like that people are like, you know that whispered, like, I got to tell you something that happened to me.
Well, they tell me. Yeah. Yeah. So,
yes. Yeah.
So if anyone anywhere in the world has an owl experience, someone in Finland or someone in,
by the way,
Thailand,
yes. What is, for my podcast listeners, what is your website address?
Oh, so you can find me at mikecleland.com.
Okay.
And then from there, you can find links to my podcast series that I did there. I'm not working on it, but they're all archived. You can find my books. I've got 3 books. You can find my, I have kept a blog with all the stories on it and stuff. So,
okay.
So mikecleland.com. And if you can't remember that, just Google UFOs, owls, and I'm the first thing that comes up.
That comes up. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Mike. I want to wish you the best of luck in all your projects.
Thank you. It's been tons of fun.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. When I was reading Mike's bio, about what his research and, I was like, man, I've never heard of this before. You always hear, like I was saying, owls are spooky, Halloween, they're like one of the motifs that you see with Halloween, the black cat, the bats, the owl, And then of course you hear it also tie in with Native American beliefs or that wildfire, I know some of those people have no idea, but it came out in the 1970s. And I want to say it was, I think that was one of those one hit wonder kind of groups. But it's memorable because one of the things was I've heard the owl hooting outside the door or every night or something like that, 3 nights in a row. Like basically it was like, I know that the owl is showing up as a messenger of death. That's why it was so memorable. It's a nice song, but again, but outside of that, yeah. And then of course, everybody thinks of like, the wise owl. Lays potato chips, all these little things, but the owl is seen as a as being wise, the wise owl, all knowing, things like that, but never that tie-in with UFOs and sightings or even orbs, right? Because this is another thing, sometimes he's describing where people are seeing orbs, but then in some cases, yeah, it's obviously a UFO what they're seeing, but this orb thing, we can't jump to the conclusion that it's a UFO in origin. How's that? Could be some type of paranormal stuff. Why not? And also the thing with the cryptids, and I guess my point is that, obviously most cryptids are seen outdoors, maybe in a rural area or something where seeing an owl is not that weird. But now it makes you think, I wonder how many people have thought, have I seen owls at certain moments where all of a sudden I have a sighting of something and it's like, but I didn't see the significance of it when it happened. I think that is so, because I'm sure like he was saying, yeah, okay, what are the odds? Like he was explaining about how he has people with a high incidence that do work with Reiki, which is energy work, and they have these experiences with owls. I mean, come on. There's a lot of different jobs that you could have or careers. And then you think to yourself, usually, how's this? I'm going to say this for the it's almost like maybe somebody that does Reiki is more open, how's this, to, I'm not going to say that people who do Reiki are not analytical, but usually there's a part of them that is not that that purely analytical as far as to do the Reiki work. And maybe it's that ability or that facet of their brain or the way they think or the way they perceive the world that allows them to see or bring those things to manifest around them so that they understand it. You know, like they say, you see when you have eyes to see. And you know, you might have the more skeptical or the more analytical types who just, it happens to them, but they miss the memo. They don't see the tie-in. They miss it. And what he was describing about that guy that was, you know, that the owl flies by him and then he looks and he sees this UFO hovering over this field. The other day I was reading this story about this guy. This happened to him, he said, back in the 80s, and he had gone out with his brother-in-law. And I want to say this was in Colorado. No, I'm taking it back. It was in the 90s. He says his brother-in-law got on this UFO kick and had bought a lot of these higher-end cameras and binoculars and things of this nature. They had gone out someplace to where there was, I want to say it was close to the sand dunes of, or the Sangre de Cristo Mountains in Colorado, an area that had a reputation for UFO sightings. But anyway, to make a long story short, one of the times that they see something and they're following them and then they stop and they think that they've not seeing it. And he says that, I can't remember if it was a camera or binoculars or something that it could see in another spectrum. And that he looked through them, and all of a sudden he could see that UFO, that craft. In other words, sometimes things are there, and you just can't see them. And he says, you know, he took it down, and he looked up again, and there it was. He said it was like 200 yards away, and they couldn't see it with the naked eye. Before they had been able to see it, and it's, for lack of a better word, it almost done, if you want to look at it, like a cloaking device kind of deal. And I've heard of this, you know, same, and I'm going to use the example of, you know, the Predator movie, the original one where, well, they used it in the following movies, but that was when that thing was introduced where this thing is basically able to bend light and camouflage itself. So, but you can't really see it unless it moves. And even then it makes you wonder, you know, sometimes maybe there are UFOs around. And by the way, when I say UFOs, I'm not ascertaining where the origin is, because nowadays, God, that could be anything. And they're there, but we just don't see it. We don't have the capabilities within the spectrum of color that our naked eye can capture it. And yeah, every once in a while we do. But other times doesn't mean just because we don't see it. And what was it? The other day there was another person. Oh my God, I can't remember who it was that was talking about how they had noticed there was some type of experiment where they were with a certain camera, obviously taking or filming like towards the sunlight, the sun, you know, the day. And oh, Marlene, what was it? I can't remember now. It was some country like one of the Slavic countries. I'm not sure which one. They have basically, you know, when you set up these things, basically these cameras to like just monitor, just to see. Basically, they caught what looks like it's some type of craft moving so quickly that the only reason why they're able to realize that it's going by is that basically it blocks the sun. In other words, the shadow of it. But it's moving so rapidly. I mean, the way they describe it, the speed is like, it's like almost like there's no way you could ever see it with the naked eye. And that they basically, the only way that they were able to recognize that this was because it would block out like the sunlight bouncing off the camera. And that this happens so many times that it wasn't just, okay, this is an anomaly, that they're realizing that these crafts are zipping by at such a high rate of speed that it just couldn't, the camera in and of itself couldn't just capture what it is. And check this out, that this thing is about, they're guesstimating about 300 feet long. We're not talking like little itty bitty flying saucer kind of deal. We're talking a big mama ship. All right. And I was listening to this and I was like, you know what, for all the sightings that we have of UFOs and, you know, whatever, lights, whatever you want to call them, how much do we have that we just don't see? And by the way, I'm going to go into, you know, I know there's a little bit staggered, but we're right in the middle of all these balloon sightings all over the world. Like, well, not all over the world, but Canada and the US and then South America and Central America. And, you know, is it a balloon? Is it a UFO? What is it? You know, I don't know. We're on the cusp of something, and I'm not sure what it means, what it is. I would just hate to think, though, that that this phenomena of extraterrestrial life or UFOs or whatever would be manipulated for some other purposes. Okay. Because us normies have been trying to prove or, you know, talk about their own personal experiences with either seeing a sighting or what he described as moments of lost time. And, you know, until recently, you got that odd look like, oh, yeah, you're one of those. God knows people in certain types of jobs. If you ever said, I saw or I witnessed this, it's like, that's a career killer. You won't want to be known as the guy that saw the lights or the pilot that saw, forget it. And all of a sudden, all this interest, call me a cynic, but I just don't want the phenomena of UFOs, whatever their origin or extraterrestrials or whatever they are, okay, to be manipulated for something other purpose than what it is as far as understanding, you know, or what the impact is to us, you know, as humankinds. Like I've said, I'm going to throw this theory out there, and I've talked about it before. Maybe these extraterrestrials are stuck here. Maybe they've been stuck here for a while. Because you know what you hear about all these ancient aliens and all these paintings and statues and all these depictions of what appear to be some type of flying saucer or aircraft or stories that are told. And then I'm thinking, okay, how long do you have to stick around before you either figure us out or, and then other people say, well, you know, there's more than one. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. What if this is some type of extraterrestrial race or culture, civilization? I don't know what to call them, that are stuck here. They got stuck here and they can zip around. Like they got their craft, but where they don't, God knows, this is me being sci-fi author. Maybe something happened that they just can't leave, to either go where they were going or go back to where they came from, whatever. And they're kind of stranded on Earth, okay? And they've just been around all this time and nobody's caught on, not really, you know, except, you know, all these kind of hidden, you know, sightings that people can interpret different ways. And it's because they haven't left because they can't. That's my theory for today. So again, guys, I hope you like the show. I love speaking to Mike. Please check out his website. And again, I will have a link to his website on the credits of the show. Or for anybody that didn't hear, it's mikecleland.com if you want to go to his website. I have a lot of great authors coming up, other experts, a lot of interesting people coming and talking about the unusual. So till then, take care.